I'll tell you this. You know, I always refer to it as the lessons of 2008. I mean, it gets me up every day. You know, it still burns my gut, and they know about it. You know, I'm sure they're tired of hearing about it, but you know, it's once again, they're experiences that you need to learn from. They're both positive and negative.
From our studios in Inwood, Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Cheesehead Nation's kickoff edition of Packer Transplants.
Training camp.
I'm Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Behnke.
Hello, everyone.
And, of course, Cheesehead Nation would not be complete without Brian Caravu and Alex Talish working fervently behind the scenes, on the blog, etc. So big thanks, Brian and Alex. Corey, why don't you tell people what's on tap tonight?
Tonight, we'll be talking to the play-by-play voice of Packers Radio Network, the wielder of the dagger himself, Mr. Wayne Larrabee.
Very nice.
And then, fresh off his first training camp practice of this very young 2009 season, second-year Packers tight end JerMichael Finley, the ex-Longhorn himself, will be live here on Packer Transplants.
We hope.
It's exciting. It's exciting stuff. It's exciting.
We got to let you know right off the bat, no one's heard from JerMichael today.
Ooh.
Except for a very cryptic Twitter that he put up very early in the morning to Packer Lounge. So we don't, you know, he's on board. He's been saying all week how pumped he is. So hopefully he shows up. Who knows?
Hopefully.
Really. It's live. But hey, first day of training camp practice. It's just great. It's just a great day to be alive. It's a great day to be a Packer fan. Lots of stuff to talk about, obviously.
It was an exciting day.
I think I'll just start with, I guess, the biggest piece of news out of camp has got to be B.J. Raji not signed on the dotted line. Not at camp, nowhere to be seen, nowhere to be found. This after his, you know, very bold proclamation that the agents don't work, you know, don't call the shots. They work for him. Blah, 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 blah. Brian had a great post about it up on Railbird Central. Unfortunate. Really unfortunate.
It is.
And they asked McCarthy about it today, and he said that, you know, the more time he misses, the more that's going to affect him, especially that they're going to have to be, you know, trying to paring down what they're going to ask him to do the longer
Sorry,
he's out.
I have a Justin Harrell cotton ball in my mouth. Sorry. I mean hairball. I mean, what? What's happening?
It's good. It's live. That's live broadcasting, ladies and gentlemen, right there from Mr. Corey Behnke.
Sorry.
So, BJ, not there today. Very upsetting. Hopefully we wake up tomorrow and, you know, see big headlines saying that he's signed and he'll be at practice. But so far, no Raji in the house. So
no Raji.
That's upsetting. But, you know, going on to positive things, sounds like it was a great day. Nitschke Field sounds fantastic.
Yeah. They don't allow cameras. What's up with that?
They don't allow cameras. Yuck nasty. You're going to have to be doing some... be doing some James Bond type filming.
Have you heard
year.
Of this movie, The Cove?
Oh, of course.
Okay, right. So you know how they did all this surveillance? That's what we right. need.
That's
we need
do.
Our own Packer team.
We need like a team of ninjas filming
exactly.
at Nitschke Field.
Not to compare Packer practice to Dolphins being slaughtered.
No,
but
of course not.
We do need that surveillance team. That camera team would be
and
nice.
And Jeff Blum, if you're watching and or listening, we're not talking about any of this. I don't know what you're talking about. So,
yeah, no.
So they had their first day at Nitschke Field. Sounds beautiful. Can't wait to see it myself in person. Sounds like Rodgers was picking up right where he left off. Campman was, I guess, I would say noticeable in the fact that you didn't hear a whole lot about him looking awkward, which is what you heard a lot about during minicamps.
Yeah.
None of that. You know, the pads come on, it goes to another level, and it sounds like, speaking of Campman, sounds like he gave T.J. Lang an old welcome to the NFL moment this afternoon when he just basically tossed him aside. So, T.J., yeah, all that, you know, press you were getting about maybe walking right into the right tackle job, you know, this is how you earn it, son. Aaron Campman says hello.
Ouch.
But, so there,
there's some negative news, though.
What's that?
Nick Barnett on the PUP.
PUP?
Hmm.
On the PUP. Barnett... was upset about it.
I have to say I was very surprised.
I guess, I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people 50-50.
I know a lot of people now are being like, well, that it actually makes sense. 2 years. Yeah. And but I was surprised.
I guess I've been reading his
Twitter feeds too much.
Well, maybe, and my blogs about them, probably.
Because if I just read his Twitter feeds, then everything's hunky-dory, LOL, and everything's all good.
Everything's always LOL.
Except for the time that he sharted on himself. But or he nearly did. I think they're going to put that on the live blog, because I put that in the library for the live blog.
No, it was good. It was
That's
good.
A great Twitter.
There's a new one, by the way. Greatest, there's greatest a new Twitter Nick Barnett Twitter that has to go. when he lists what he's bringing to training camp, he includes baby wipes. And then he has a follow-up to that tweet that I'm not going to mention here, but just go find it.
That goes in the Nick Barnett Twitter Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it most certainly does.
That's number two or number one? No, I think that's number two.
Yours is definitely still number one.
It doesn't beat it, I don't think.
So Barnett's on the PUP. Very upsetting. You could feel his angst off his Twitter account. I'm telling you.
I really like his fro.
His fro is hot.
We didn't have that to use when we were going to interview him during the OTAs, and I got the animation ready, and I'm kind of glad because I really like that fro.
The fro's hot.
It's going to look really hot in the animation segment.
Well, what's interesting about Barnett being put on the PUP is now you've got Chiller and Bishop have a real opportunity to catch somebody, you know, to really make a statement early on in camp. I mean, Barnett's not going to be there forever on the PUP, and you know, Chiller, Bishop, somebody in the middle has a chance now.
Opportunity.
So we'll see. I mean, although I got to say, I think I've gone back and forth with Jersey Al, who's in the house tonight.
Jersey.
I think it's a big mistake playing Chiller inside. I don't understand it. He's your best A, cover linebacker, and B, he's the one linebacker last year that showed any propensity to be able to blitz and rush the passer. So why are you playing him inside where he's going to be taking on guards, fullbacks? Yeah, they wanted him to fly sideline to sideline, but the coverage guys are outside.
Is Chiller ever going to be anything more than a serviceable backup?
You know, I this is his chance.
Yeah.
You know, he's in there with the starters, and you know, there are a lot of, you know, both Packer observers, national writers, blah 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 blah, who thought that Chiller was the best linebacker on the Packers last year.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard to make a counter-argument to that.
But really, it's from a cover standpoint.
Oh, he's, you know, well, you have to look no further than the Indianapolis game where A.J. Hawk was on the sideline for all but, I think, three plays because of Chiller's coverage ability on Dallas Clark. So
Wait. First-round draft pick, A.J. Hawk?
Yeah, fifth overall draft pick, A.J. Hawk. Who, I gotta say, I was not given any love this afternoon, and one or two of our readers were getting a little upset with me, but sorry, guys, I call it like I see it. The guy can't rush the passer, and he can't cover.
What can he do?
That's a good question, because he can't take on blocks at the point of attack either, so...
I bet he does a really good Packer shark, though.
I hope so.
I hope so.
I keep trying to get that to come back, but you won't let
you it. You and a lot of other people, somebody made a reference to the Packer shark, but they didn't say Packer shark. It was on the live blog.
Right.
They said something like, you put your hand up. Like, I mean, it was...
Right.
They said everything.
It was the Packer shark.
It was.
It was what they were talking about.
It was.
Well, you know. It'll be interesting to see if somebody can step up there. Obviously, I think Barnett's still slated to start week one. I think there's a minor setback. But we'll see. We'll see. It should be interesting. Today was the official beginning of everybody's favorite, you know, the camp battles. Everybody, you know,
I was going to say, no, today is the 3 year anniversary of who's going to be on the offensive line for the Green Bay Packers.
Oh boy. Here we go.
I hate this. I don't like this game.
No, I know. I don't think McCarthy does either though. I have to say this year, I get the sense that he's going to decide it early. He's going to set his five. And that's going to be it.
And even if one of them, I'm not buying it.
We'll see.
Because what happened last year and the year before happens, one of them tanks, and then the shift happens.
Or gets injured, yeah, and then everything shifts. And everyone's saying, like, yeah, he wants to set his five, and that's it, and he's not going to play anybody else anywhere, blah, 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 blah. But let me tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, Tony Moll, who I was giving love to this afternoon, Tony Moll, I think, is I don't know, not incorrectly. I understand why people have a beef against him and think he's not that good. I think he's better than advertised. I think people get way too down on him. However, I will say this. If Chad Clifton were to go down, no way in God's green earth does Tony Moll come in at left tackle. which he was playing at the number ones in minicamp and OTAs. Darren College would slide out and play left tackle.
And that,
just so everyone's clear on this, there's no way you will see Tony Moll at left tackle.
Okay, and all I have to say is if that happens, the true weakness of the Packers will be exploited. And it's one of our games where if we don't pick it up this year, and it's such a simple one.
Right.
And I talked about it with Jackson today. I posted a thing on the live blog. It was kind of a teaser of, like, does anyone think Wynn will actually be the starter at the end of the season? And the only reason I brought it was kind of like a trick question, but I think a lot of other people think that Brandon Jackson, you know, especially Alex, ever since our Greg Bedard interview,
right,
where
it was the
whole administration wants Ryan Grant. Look, if we're not able to check down a staple, not just check down, but backfield, flats, that kind of stuff, have a running back who's reliable that you can dump off to.
Yeah.
Darren College is not the answer to protection on the blind side.
No, it's true.
There's two weaknesses.
And here's the thing with Clifton. It was revealed today that he had not. Everyone thought he had two surgeries this offseason. He had four.
Mm.
He had both knees and both shoulders scoped, and he admitted as much today that he's very rusty. You know, he sat out all of OTAs and minicamp, so you know, it's going to take a little bit for him to round back into shape. But I think Clifton's, you know, still got another good year left in him. So hopefully they patch that there, and then Meredith can be brought along slowly, because as Greg Bedard wrote today, he was not looking ready for prime time this afternoon.
Is there like a Greg Bedard, Aaron Nagler battle going on right now?
No.
I heard something about this. I've seen some emails or something.
No, just stop. That's private confidential information. Everyone, if you haven't checked out the blog on Cheesehead TV last night, I wrote a little blurb about how the Green Bay Press Gazette is coming to play.
Somebody gave props to the Green Bay Press Gazette.
And let's just say, I'm not even exaggerating. 5 minutes after I posted that post. Not even 5 minutes. It may have been less. I got contacted by not one, but two people mentioned in that post. I'm not going to say who it was, but they both contacted me within 5 minutes of that post going up, telling me how I was wrong. Now, riddle me this, Batman. What does that mean? That means two people, one from each side, contacted me. That was a post about how good the Green Bay Press Gazette was doing. And yet they still wrote me to say how I got something wrong. You're right. I got it wrong, Green Bay Press Gazette. You suck. All right? I mean, what?
Well,
really?
I thought you were nice about the videos.
Oh, well. I don't want to bore people.
Okay.
They don't want to talk about
this.
No.
I'm sorry. Right. But I will say just one point of pride, okay?
Right.
Because of Twitter,
right,
Rob Domofsky. Okay, now, the fact that I actually emailed Rob Domofsky 5 years ago, and that email is an impetus for why we started Cheesehead TV. I don't know if you knew that.
I know
the email.
I know.
And I called him out on something, and he didn't have anything to do with it, and Pete Doherty came out in my defense.
Right.
And now Rob knows who I am because of Twitter.
He does indeed.
Wow.
He does indeed.
I'm moving up in the world.
It came full circle last night. So back to camp. Minor diversion there. Corey with his classic diversionary tactics.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. Camp battles. We were speaking about the offensive line. Right tackle. Barber was in it with the number ones today. Although, apparently, Giacomini was looking good in one-on-ones. Not in teams, but in one-on-ones. He was really doing well. And Barber got chewed out by Campen today. Apparently, he did something to earn the ire of his offensive line coach after two plays in a row and got pulled. And then Campen gave him a verbal dressing down on the sideline.
Ouch.
Yeah, I mean, that's camp. That's going to happen, especially with a young guy who's not played a whole lot. And, you know, Barber, I think, you know, Pelissero wrote that he's the favorite going in. I got to agree with that. Although I haven't seen, you know, there's been absolutely nothing official from anybody on the Packers staff about it.
And there's not going to be.
No, there won't be for.
There's not going to be until they decide who it's going to be.
Exactly.
If they ever do.
You know, I think, you know, he could definitely run away with the job after a week family night. If he keeps, you know, if he's steady and produces and you know, showing well in teams, you know, no matter what happens in one-on-ones, if he's doing well in teams, because that's his greatest weakness, and that's, you know, a lot of people have said that both officially and off the record, that you know, his greatest weakness is the mental part of the game. So how you do in one-on-ones when that is your problem is kind of beside the point. You know, you want to see the reason I've heard that he didn't win the left guard, you know, was taken out of the left guard competition last year so quickly was because he was struggling with the mental aspect. He was struggling with the adjustments, with the blitz pickups, blah, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
If you're out on right tackle, you have two jobs. You know, maul them in the run game, create that edge for the runner to get past.
Running game?
And okay. Or protect the quarterback. That's it. So it should be. It's not as, you're not
well, but to their
the
credit,
calls as much as you are at the guard position.
Okay, this whole zone blocking thing
right.
is a bunch of crap.
Oh, don't start that. It's not a bunch of crap. They need to execute it properly.
But it kind of is
because proven system
we lost
that works.
The main guy who knows how it all works, though,
yes. Jagodinski
went
not after
on the
one
Packers.
Year. That's true.
Okay,
that's
so
true.
The guy who knows how it works is now gone. Why do you stick with something that nobody really... I mean, yeah, you spent 1 year on it, but it's unless you have a master at it, it is unproven in the NFL.
There are only
a few teams that employ it to great effect.
That's true. That's very true. I will say, though, no matter what you think of it, no matter what I think of it, it's here to stay. All
what
right.
I think of it has no bearing on anything.
What we think of anything has no bearing on anything, so it's all right. But
it's
interesting.
Well, I can't talk about that right now. I do believe that Brett Favre listened to one of my rants. I do believe that. I know. You don't want to talk about that. I do believe that.
I tried. What time
we'll
is
move
it?
Over that. We'll move over.
It's 20 minutes into the show.
I'm just saying.
Let it be known.
Look, you were saying
Corey
that nobody
Banky
listens
that
to what
name,
we say.
Not me.
Look, I think Jeff Bloom, and I think that, who's the guy we met at Pecker Fan Fest?
Aaron Popke.
Right. I think they listen to us.
I highly doubt it.
A little bit. I think they get a little sliver.
Probably. Not that sliver, though. Barber, I think, you know, as long as I think he has to kind of fall on his face. I think Breno has just missed so much time in the mini camps, OTAs. He missed so much time. I mean, he hasn't done anything. And today was his first time in pads and in pads blocking people in a long time and doing anything is, I guess, a gravy, a bonus, because he's going to, you know, I don't think they're going to cut him, you know, his second year in. So we'll see. Right tackle, Barber's to lose. I got to agree with that. Moving, you know, further along, the center position. Surprisingly, Wells got, this is a real battle. Everybody's foregone conclusion at the center position that Spitz was going to be in there. Wells was in, looking good. He was the first, I think that's kind of a statement, he was the first center out there with the first team. So, and apparently, by all accords, held himself well, so you know we'll see. I just can't see them, you know, if Wells wins the job, and then you know that puts Spitz back at right guard. I can't believe they're going to keep sitting on the sideline if he's healthy. I just can't do it. The kid's got the bulk. The kid's got the nasty demeanor. I don't know. I'll be surprised. I'll be very surprised if Wells wins it. And then what do you do? I mean,
What do you do with Wells if he doesn't win?
That's the thing.
It?
The theory is that he gets cut, which I wouldn't be surprised.
Wells can play a guard.
He can play guard, and he played a couple games at guard when he first came on board. So that's a possibility. Repercussions all the way down the line. But I was surprised that Wells came out number one at center. I guess I shouldn't have been, but I was.
The offensive line is such a confused mishmash.
Yes, it is, and that's unfortunate.
It really is.
But
it's
hopefully
really
it gets
sad.
Fixed in a week or two, and
I mean,
we roll.
Like, the difference between 6 and 10,
right,
and 10 and 6,
right? Yeah,
11, is 5, is
hey,
that, the
you know,
confusion.
Speaking of 6 and 10, they asked McCarthy about 6 and 10 at his opening training camp press conference, and I really loved his response. And we're going to play it for you right now. Here's Mike McCarthy responding to a question about... if 6-10 going 6-10 motivates him. And here's what he had to say.
Like to put it to bed. We talked about that today. But I'll tell you this. You know, I always refer to it as the lessons of 2008. I mean, it gets me up every day. You know, it still burns my gut, and they know about it. You know, and I'm sure they're tired of hearing about it. But you know, it's once again, they're experiences that you need to learn from. They're both positive and negative.
There you have it. The lessons of 2008. They're burning his gut. I love that.
They better.
Yeah, they better, the whole team.
I mean,
be better, have their gut burning.
Go from 1919 to 2009, and you're not going to see a lot of 6-10s.
No, well, maybe in like the 70s and 80s.
Not if you take the whole thing.
No, I hear you. More than less and less and more.
I mean, not counting Forrest Gregg, Lindy, and Fonte are Bart
Starr's
coaches.
That's a whole large swath that you're taking out there, though.
And yeah. If you take out Lindy and Fonte, then there's not a lot.
No, there's not. Okay, wait. One last training camp battle I wanted to touch on was Thompson, Jeremy Thompson on the outside, and the first-round pick, Clay Matthews. Apparently, at first today, Clay Matthews sounds like he wasn't really distinguishing himself. However, Jeremy Thompson apparently got completely manhandled by Chad Clifton. Again, welcome to your new position. You actually have to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
Both those guys do. Although I think Matthews surprised people as the practice went on with his strength, his speed. This kid's a player. Thompson definitely, we're going to see on the field what Thompson hopes was the real deal. I got to tell you, I like Thompson. I liked what I saw of him last year, but his inability to just get around the corner on a tackle last year, I don't see how that projects to the blitzing defense, the blitzing 3-4 outside linebacker.
Mm-hmm. One hopes for the whole strength and conditioning that
he's mature.
Going from college to the pros.
I hear you. He, just last night I was going back and watching the Seattle game where he got, most of his meaningful snaps last year. And there were a couple plays where he really holds the line well at the defensive end position in the run game. But any time the kid has to rush the passer, he's got a good first burst. His first step is a little slow, but his first burst into the guy is good. But then that special thing that every great pass rusher has, or even a good pass rusher has, where he can cut that corner to the quarterback, he can get under the guy's shoulder, or he can set him up and then do something different where he goes inside the next time when the guy's not expecting it. Anything like that. He's got one rush. His hard, fast, off the edge, get pushed just beyond the quarterback, everything's okay. That's his rush. And he needs to come up with some.
So basically KGB, but don't get to the quarterback.
Yeah. That is exactly it. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy Thompson, KGB, just like KGB,
except
only
for,
don't get to the quarterback. Yeah. So in other words, kind of like KGB at the beginning of 2008. That's pretty much what Thompson brought last year.
Although, I will say, if the Packers didn't have to pay KGB $8 million that year, or whatever it was, $9, $10, whatever.
Yeah.
But if they didn't have to pay that, he would have been a great, great steal. And we probably would have won one more game because of it. I'm calling it there right now. If he wasn't $8 million, if he was only $2 million, come on. He would have got some sacks.
All right, I'll just say this. Your dollar sign in your contract doesn't help your ability.
No. Well, but it does affect it. That's not what I'm saying. But it does affect whether you're on the team or not. Like,
obviously,
if you are performing pretty well and you get six sacks a year, that's worth $2 million. It's not worth $8 million.
If you
can get 12 sacks, that's worth $8
million. But that's the thing. The guy had half a sack when he was cut. I mean, he just didn't have it.
It's
true. He just didn't have the burst.
Well,
he didn't have the step. He didn't
I
have,
guess.
That
but,
was it. That
but
was
then
his
you
whole
go
game.
To games and then you see him get sacks. I mean,
oh, I know.
Or you
know.
Bring
Two
it pressures.
Ago.
Pressures. Yeah, that's true. I have the NFC Championship game in my head.
There you go. Where you had the
I
great,
can't speak
great
right
get
now,
up. It's all right. Nobody can. Okay. So the two biggest things I think, and we've got, ladies and gentlemen, T-minus 5 minutes till we call Wayne Larrabee. That's right.
Do you think he'll pick
Set
up the phone?
Set your watches. I doubt it. I'll bet you. Okay, what's the over-under?
Oh.
Brian,
yeah,
live blog,
to do a poll
put up
this.
A poll. What's the over-under on Wayne Larrabee picking up his phone?
He's going to see this like weird.
Wait, is that possible? You can't really have an over-under on that, can you?
No,
it's a yes or no question.
Will he or won't he? Yeah.
Will he or won't he? I don't know. That's a poll, though. That is definitely a poll. Will Wayne Larrabee pick up the phone? Is Wayne Larrabee watching? If so.
If I was Wayne Larrabee, I would have to really contemplate whether I
picking
would pick up the phone,
phone
or not.
I'm going to vote no. If that poll gets
he's
put
pretty
up,
cool.
I hear you.
He is. He's. I love. You know. I love Packers Radio Network. What can I say?
Will Wayne Larrabee answer our phone call? I'm voting no. Here we go. Submit. There we go.
What are they saying on the live blog? I wish I had a computer.
Let me tell you something. Donald's designated driver thinks you're drunk.
I haven't had.
That
I only had one half
question.
A beer. Right
Corey
now.
Is definitely drunk.
He's never seen the show, obviously.
Clearly. Well, no, I think he's tuned in a couple times. I believe. I don't know. Well,
no, but I did have one beer. So.
One beer. What? How did you have that beer?
In my Cheesehead TV mug. Look, you can get your Cheesehead TV mug right here. When you order them.
They're right there.
They're right there.
They're just
rotting.
Look
how easy that is.
Wasting away in the studio.
Well, only a few.
Wait, say something profound because I'm about to take a drink
something,
from my Cheesehead TV mug.
Something profound. I thought it was very exciting today having almost 200 people on the live blog.
Yeah,
that was really cool. Brian had that. It was going. It was out of control.
It was great. And we're glad. Thank you all for joining us tonight.
Yeah.
And we're kicking off the rust here. You know, we're a little jerky all over the place. It's been a month or two or so since our last show. So.
Yeah.
Just like the Packers, you know, we're kicking off the rust.
We're in training camp.
We're in training camp, just like the team. We're working up.
We did 5 weeks of
opening night.
We did 4 weeks of OTAs, 1 week of mini camp, and here we are on the first day of training camp.
Absolutely. So, two quick things before we call Wayne.
Do we want to go to commercial before we call Wayne?
Good God, no. Because we told him we'd call at a certain time.
All right.
We can't call during a commercial.
I mean,
well,
I will say to our live audience, I'm a little, you know, should we really call him? And then what if he doesn't answer?
What if he doesn't answer?
Let me tell you this. I mean, somebody will laugh.
We'll deny that we ever called him. We'll deny that he ever didn't pick up the phone. And we'll cut it out of the podcast.
I'll re-cut it.
We'll just totally edit it out. And anyone who says differently who's here tonight, we'll just call you liars. So that's that. So here are the two things I want to say real quickly about. One about the offense, one about the defense. Biggest thing we got to see is improvement in is the two-minute drill. Pay particular attention to reports when they're working out of the two-minute drill, because by all accounts, McCarthy has put a special emphasis on the two-minute drill in the offseason, in the offense, working with Tom Clements, Joe Philbin, and Aaron Rodgers, just because, you know, they weren't dreadful in the two-minute drill last year, but they were less than stellar. On the defensive side, I think it's going to be very interesting. So we saw one huge hit today. Nick Collins laid out DeShone Winn, which I was surprised about because DeShone Winn brings the goods. What's the hitting like from the defensive side of the ball in that they are working on a new defense, they're working on entirely new terminology, they're working entirely new system, new set of parameters. In other words, there's a lot of thinking going on. Mm-hmm. And when there's a lot of thinking going on, you're not reacting. It's not flowing. Definitely not yet. So it'll be interesting to see if the hitting picks up as the week goes on.
No doubt.
That said, it's time.
It's time.
Let's call this guy. ladies and gentlemen, say a prayer. It's the first time. He's nervous because it's the first time we've ever called someone.
Yeah, I know. And usually people call us.
Usually they call us. And it's like we sit here and we faff and we worry. And then we see the thing pop up and I go, oh, thank God. But now I got to call this guy.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen. And thanks for your support here.
Thanks for your patience.
Overwhelmingly, they think Wayne will pick up.
Wow, so they don't know us very well.
They don't. They obviously haven't seen the show. Obviously, a lot of new.
Oh, we got a lot of new people here.
A lot of new viewers. So here we go. Ooh, I like that echo on it.
Yeah, I like.
That's good. Got a little effect on it.
Here we go. Let's do it. As soon as he comes on, I got a little animation for him.
Live broadcasting, ladies and gentlemen.
This is awesome.
Here comes his voicemail.
Well, if we get his voicemail, what are we going to say?
Just say hi.
I wonder if he has the dagger as part of his voicemail.
Hi, this is Wayne. I can't take your call at the beep. Please, please.
Oh, no. Oh, that's him, though. Oh.
Hi, Wayne. It's Aaron with Cheesehead TV. Sorry we missed you. Hope you can maybe give us a shout back on the old studio line. You can reach us at 646. I don't even know what it is.
797-2909.
2909. Oh, hope you can give us a shout.
You know I know that number. All right. So what percentage of people said he wouldn't pick up?
I don't know, but they're the big winners tonight.
What do they get? Do they get a Cheesehead TV mug?
Yeah. Hey, anybody who voted no, he won't pick up, you get a Cheesehead TV mug.
Yeah.
And I'm not joking because that's just horrible.
I thought I would be really embarrassed, but I'm kind of not. It's kind of funny.
It's kind of expected.
I mean, we're bloggers.
Yeah.
I mean, we're like the scum of the earth to some people.
Oh, this is great. Wait, I'm gonna
we're gonna get some sympathy now.
Wait,
hopefully.
No, we're not. I'm gonna read out the responses
okay.
right here.
Here we go.
Jersey Pac-Man has the best one, and that's your dagger.
We just got the dagger from Wayne Larrabee.
All right.
Wow.
Brian says, please keep the line open for Wayne if he calls. Will do, Brian. Let me tell you something, Brian. He ain't calling.
Oh, man.
Oh,
this is
my
fun.
Goodness. All right, wait. I got to read this. I don't know.
Can we talk about Brett Favre now?
No. Damn it. No. Oh, okay, here we go. Here's what I just want to read these out. This is great.
Okay, I'm ready. I need another beer now.
Okay, first, T said, I just saw Wayne at McDonald's. And then Jersey said, damn, that's bad. And then Mr. Bacon said, denied. And then Andy Man said, bummer. And then Thaddeus said, I'll call you guys.
Oh, man.
And then Jersey Pack Fan said, owned. And then Iron Man said, damn. Oh, man. And then T said, send me my mug. And then Jersey Pack Fan said, and that's your dagger. Oh.
Wow.
Donald's designated driver, though, represents by saying, Wayne Larrabee is dead to me. That is right.
Oh, man. That's the best blogcast moment we've ever had in my whole entire, in the entire history of Packers
Fans. What's great, what's even better, is that now, like, now that we haven't talked to Wayne.
We have that moment.
No. It's better than that. Now that we haven't talked to Wayne, you know Jermichael's not going to call.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way Jermichael's
like,
calling.
We've got like 100 people on watching, and they're like, oh,
you know, it's just
bastards.
Now it's like totally faded.
We lied.
I really hope Greg Bedard like puts this up on the Packers
Greg
blog
Bedard.
Tomorrow.
Watch Cheesehead Greg
TV
Bedard call in.
Totally denied.
Cheesehead TV sucks.
Oh my god.
Awesome.
I love it. Call him back, says Alex. I say call him
again
too.
We will.
Let's try calling Wayne back during the break.
Why don't we do this?
That's a good idea, Brian.
It's not. It's,
during the break is a great idea.
It's 9:31. Why don't we do a break right now?
I think it's time for a break.
Everybody, stay tuned. We're going to try to get somebody
on
the phone.
Okay, we promise. We'll get somebody.
Someone. We'll get Aaron's wife if we have to.
Yeah, that's right. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, she has some very strong opinions about what's going on in Packerland. I say we call Jeff Bloom's house.
All right,
anyway.
Let's do it. We're going to go to break now.
We're going to take a break. Enjoy your 4 minutes, and I'm going to get a beer. Welcome back, ladies and
Welcome
gentlemen.
Welcome back.
Fresh off our scintillating interview with Wayne Larrabee.
No.
Who still isn't picking up, by the way.
No.
Love it. But as you can all see, Mr. Greg Bedard is here to save the day.
Yeah.
Perfect timing, by the way, Greg.
That was awesome.
Answering some questions. We thank him beyond the stars.
Yes.
We thank him.
We love Greg Bedard.
It's like he's involved in the new media, the interactive media.
Yes.
Someone should post
He's
about
a pioneer.
That. He
he's
is a pioneer.
Pioneer.
Someone should post
Look,
about that.
Greg Bedard is the best Packer beat writer, hands down.
Well, okay. He would say it's Bob McGinn
no.
and Tom Silverstein.
No.
I would say they are great writers.
Yeah.
But Greg is the best beat reporter on the Packer beat, bar none.
Okay.
And I'm not just saying that because he's here saving my ass.
Okay. I'm 32 years old, about to be 33. And in my 33 years, I have never been as up to date with the Packers as I have with Greg Bedard. That's, I guess, my point.
I agree.
Just saying that because he's in our live.
Yeah. I just made that same declaration, and that's not true. So, you know, he's answering. Where else are you going to go, ladies and gentlemen? Where you're going to get to see two dorks in New York drink beer and talk pack and have a, you know, professional beat writer answering your questions on a live blog.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get this at other Packer blogs that I might name, but shall remain nameless.
It takes a collaboration of the three greatest Packer sites in the internet.
And if you're new here,
Railbird Central.
I don't think any of you are, but if you are new,
Railbird Central, Packers Lounge.
Packers Lounge.
And Cheesehead TV.
They're all must-haves. Bookmark
That's
them,
all you need.
You know, delicious them.
Well, and JS Online.
Yeah. Well, you know, everyone checks those, of course. But, yeah, absolutely. The three best Packer blogs you're ever going to find on the face of the planet. Except for one in Japan.
Oh, yes.
I Corey found this Japanese Packers blog.
Packers.jp.
And then passed it along to Alex, who posted about it over at Packers Lounge the other day. This guy is unbelievable.
He's a top 10 blogger, and I'm talking about all the world.
blogs.
Like, if
about
you, what
the Packers
you have to do
anywhere.
In order to see Japanese text, you just go to Google Translate and type in the link of Packers.jp, and you can see his whole site in English, and it's amazing.
The kid even hates Jarrett Bush. How can you not like this guy?
Yes, he does.
But no, he knows. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's as up to date as we are.
Yeah, absolutely.
He doesn't have a live blog, but
no, he's everywhere. He's on everything, and
he's
great.
In Nagoya too, which I have to say I've been to Nagoya, and it's amazing. It's one of my favorite Japanese cities, and so I love that he's a Nagoya Packerbacker.
We are absolutely adding him to our blog list, and you should all check it out because the guy is great, really, really great.
Hopefully, we can start a trend because if we can get a Packer blogger in every country, come on now.
That would be hot. And then we could, you know what? Oh, you know what would be great?
That'd be great.
We could have like a map, an interactive map of the world with Packer blogs and Packer bars on it. And you could have things.
Oh, wait. JS Online stole that from me.
They did.
Oh.
It's like having a map of America with all the relevant Packer bars on it. Oh, wait. That's right. You already did that. That's right, Greg.
Oh, is he still
That's
on?
That's right, Greg. Is he still on? Not anymore.
Later.
No.
Bye, Greg.
He knows I'm kidding.
You guys did steal that from me, though.
No, it's true. Iron Man. And Iron Man's in the house tonight, and I want to thank Iron Man for being on top of that, because he was all about, like, emailing, Twittering, everything, to make sure that we knew that JS Online had blatantly stole Corey's idea.
Yeah.
But hey, speaking of the Packers, let's get back to the topic at hand.
Packers.
First day of camp. Some of the other stuff that was reported today, we can't say we saw it, but we definitely read about it obsessively, just like you guys and gals. Sounds like Jamal Williams was looking good. The secondary was looking good in general, although Al Harris struggled a little bit until he made a nice play on a comeback route against Driver. Joe Porter, Cheesehead TV alum.
The very first
Packer player ever interviewed on this program, had an interception of Aaron Rodgers today.
Nice.
You know what we call that? We call that the Packer transplant bump.
Yep.
You come on this show, you get mad skills. You make plays. It just happens. Let me tell you, Wayne Larrabee, laryngitis for you for a month. You deny us. You diss us.
Wow. I don't think he's dissing us. You know what? He probably had a Fox 11 news interview with Larry McCarron.
Or something.
I don't know. I mean, we're only New York media. We're just New York bloggers here, you know?
It's true.
We're low on the totem pole here.
Alex says, get Tony Mall on then.
There you go. Well, I thought Ryan Grant would be great.
Greg, the show ends at 10:30 Eastern. 9:30 Central. So, to answer your question, Greg's got to go file his stories for tomorrow. So, Greg, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Saving our ass. We look forward to reading your stuff tomorrow. Godspeed. Greg, give us a call. Greg's saying you'll call in.
Greg
Bedard.
Wait, I got to go get his animation. Hold on. I'm getting it right now. You're going to have to vamp for a little bit.
I'm vamping. Greg, I'm sending you the phone number via Gmail, though I'm sure someone else can, Oh, I just got your email, Greg. That's funny. Thanks. So here, I'll send you the number. You can call in, ladies and gentlemen. You can blog your questions. We can talk about whatever the heck you want to talk about with Mr. Greg Bedard. Greg, I'm sending you the number right now. Although I don't screw it. I mean, the number's on the website. 646-797-2909. Again, it's 646-797-2909.
Look at that right there. Oh, yeah.
There's your animation, buddy. Didn't even know you were going to be on tonight.
We knew you were going to be on. We're ready for you.
Yeah. This is all planned in advance.
Wow. Greg Bedard is quickly becoming my hero. Do you realize this?
He became my hero hours ago.
I mean, he was my hero before, but now he's kind of elevated his status.
So, Greg, you heard me. 646. There
now he's like,
is.
Psych!
Oh, Greg Bedard, how are you tonight?
Oh yeah,
pretty good.
Thanks, Mill, for the assist and the save.
You know, I gotta bail you guys out once again. Somebody gotta do it.
Once again,
yes, you do. Thank you so much.
It's good to have some talent on the line. Nice.
Who's calling, McGinn?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Nice. Hey, so today, practice. Initial thoughts of the 3-4 defense. I guess that's the biggest question mark on this team. So we'll start with that as a question. How's the defense look? Pads are on, hitting, starting. What popped out at you?
Well, let me just preface this by saying that it's the first day. So, I mean, it's hard to make, you know, a lot of observations or conclusions because it is the first day. But I will say that, you know, things look pretty good. It was a predominant run practice. I think they're almost going through an install again. So they start off very basic. But from what we saw, things look good. I thought the defensive line with Jolly, Pickett, Colin Jenkins looked very good. A.J. Hawk was surprisingly physical today. I think he, from talking to him after practice, he really likes this new defense. He gets to run downhill a little bit more. He was taking on blockers. Colin Jenkins was great. Trying to think about the other guys. You know, for the most part, I will say that the defense looked pretty good today for the first day, so it's a good start.
And with the right tackle position, I think you updated that Campen was, you know, giving Barber and addressing down. Was there something in particular that you saw that he was doing incorrectly? Was he jumping off sides? Was he missing assignments? What happened there?
I didn't see it. All of a sudden, I heard the swearing coming from the other side of the practice field, and I looked up, and it was a bearded James Campen. I don't know why he's sporting the beard going into summer, but he is, and it was definitely Alan Barber who was getting an earful. I don't know what it was. I think he kind of whiffed on his technique. I think he got out of balance, and that, you know, that's something that Campen and Fontenelle have been really stressing with him, that he's got to keep his fundamentals right. It was obviously something basic because Campen was all over him. But, you know, that's going to happen from time to time. I will say that Giacomini, I was very impressed. Like I said on one of my tweets, I forgot what he looked like in pads. It's been so long.
Yeah,
it hasn't
been
since training camp last year, basically, that I got to see him actually competing and doing something. So, he looked pretty good. Lang doesn't look like he's going to get much of a shot there. We'll have to see. I think he'll get a few reps here and there, but that's where they are at this point. I think it's wide open. McCarthy, he said that, you know, it seemed like he indicated that it's, you know, Barber's the guy for right now, but I think there is definitely room for Giacomini to get in there. Remember, you know, with Barber last year, we all thought he was in for the starting goal. And then all of a sudden he's gone.
I know, so, and I still don't get that. I thought he looked good against Cincinnati, and then he was just pulled, and that was it. Mm-hmm. A couple of our readers are asking about Harrell, for obvious reasons. This is his, you know, put up or shut up year. I saw that you wrote that he was looking pretty good against the run, and like you said, it was a run dominated practice. Was this him going against ones? Who was he going against? Was he getting a good push, or was he just, you know, holding the line well?
Good questions. I'm trying to think back now. I think it was a mix of two and threes that he was going against as far as the run. He was doing a good job getting some penetration and being in the mix. You know, he did a decent job in one-on-one. This is the first time, I guess, you know, we should get used to it with the 3-4 defense where they're now splitting up the one-on-one, so it's actually hard for us in the media to keep track because they have them almost back-to-back where they have the defensive lineman going in against the interior offensive lineman, and then they have the outside linebackers going against the tackles. And, you know, Justin did, you know, a pretty good job. One time he really looked good. Other times, you know, he was getting washed around a little bit, but I think I think it was definitely a promising start for him, and I know a lot of people are concerned about him, and as well they should be.
Yeah, absolutely. Sticking on.
And I will.
Go ahead.
What you were talking about earlier, the McGinn story is now online, so
nice.
I guess I can let the cat out of the bag that, and I haven't even read the story that closely, but everyone. You know, this is a little plug. You can go over to JS Online and read Bob's special team story that the Packers made a push to sign Hunter Smith before he signed with the Washington Redskins.
Right.
And I guess the Packers wanted him to sign a 2 or 3 year deal, but for some reason, Hunter Smith decided not to, thought it was better for him to go to the Redskins, sign a 1 year, basically minimum deal. So, you know, it's another one of those decisions, like Derek Frost, a little bit different. I mean, the Packers put the punting position in jeopardy because they didn't, you know, go after the right guy or didn't go after, you know, Hunter Smith strong enough.
Now, do you think it's interesting because, you know, obviously every coach in the NFL pays lip service to special teams. I mean, do you get the sense that they really are just sacrificing special teams to keep certain guys? Like last year you saw Lansana, who they think have potential. I mean, this isn't the same, but it just speaks to a continuing trend with Thompson and McCarthy, where the special teams are important, in quotes, but when it comes down to the nitty-gritty and actually getting guys, it's just they just don't seem to put any kind of emphasis on it.
Interesting, Aaron. I hear what you're saying, and you know, we've all been led to believe, especially from, you know, Ted Thompson, who made his name as a special teams player, that's how he was in the league when he played for the Oilers, that special teams is paramount to him. But yeah, I mean, obviously the past couple of years, they've been sacrificing veterans for kind of younger guys, and you know, since it hasn't worked out, I think there's some validity to that, but I don't know. I guess, I mean, most of it was last year. We're going to have to kind of see how it goes this year, because looking at the units on the field so far the first day, they should be pretty strong. I mean, they got guys like Clay Matthews out there, Jeremy Thompson, Jermichael Finley, Brandon Chiller. I mean, these are units, if you look at them, they should be pretty good. So I guess I'm going to kind of wait and see what happens this year with that before I, you know, make an indictment or anything.
Right, right. Speaking of that, you brought up Chiller. Did he do anything today to distinguish himself in Barnett's absence? I know I read that.
Not really. It was hard to tell.
Right. And Bishop got run over. I read that.
Yeah.
Bishop
did fine. He got out of balance and got run over once, but you know, that's going to happen. I think I said this in the chat over there a little bit earlier that I'm eagerly waiting for when the crowds kind of thin out, because I'm really sick of watching practice from field level, because it's really hard to tell, especially in the running game, both run defense and run offense, exactly who's doing what and who's getting penetration and making moves. So as soon as I can get elevated, I'm going to do that, because I'm getting a little frustrated and not being able to answer some of these questions like I should.
Right. What about Pat Lee? I mean, from all accounts during OTAs, you know, he was looking good, he was looking promising, blah, 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 blah. But both he and Blackman, I guess, got burned today pretty badly. Was that just a case of, you know, the offense had the advantage because of the way they were working, or was it individual mistakes on the part of the secondary?
Hard to say there were mistakes. I mean, you got to remember, I mean, this is a drill that we were watching where it was, you know, the quarterbacks and then the wide receivers and the cornerbacks going one-on-one with each other. So the quarterback and the wide receiver know what they're going to do, and the defensive backs don't. So they're automatically, you know, at a disadvantage. And in a defensive setting in a game, those guys always have help usually in one direction or the other. The way they play a route is predicated on where they have help. They don't have that in those situations. I wouldn't say Lee looked terrible today. It's the first day. Right. Blackman, he was struggling with guys like, you know, Greg Jennings. And, you know, obviously we know that a lot of people struggle with Greg Jennings. So I wouldn't get too worked up about those guys yet. Let's see how this moves along, you know, once we get out of the first week and see where we are.
Absolutely. Well, Greg, I can't, you know, impose on your time anymore. Thank you so much for saving our ass.
Thank you.
You're a true gentleman, despite what I wrote on the blog. And
Just thanks a thanks a million.
You're ripping me and my whole existence in the blog.
Thanks so much, Greg. Have a great night, and we look forward to more practice updates.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Talk to you later.
Have a good night. Ladies and gentlemen, where else can you chat and,
Greg Bedard.
Have your questions answered by a Packer beat writer.
I'm sorry. Live. I said that before. He's my hero. Seriously.
Oh, how could he not be?
He just saved our ass.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
Did.
You're awesome.
There you go. We're gonna have to like cut that tweet, get it and like just put it on a loop.
Yeah, just put it on, they'll use it on JS Online. Then Domofsky will be like, Corey who? Welcome JerMichael Finley. We have JerMichael Finley on the phone with Cheesehead Nation.
JerMichael, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, no problem, man. No problem at all.
So, we'll start at the beginning, and we're going to work our way forward as far as your career. And we'll start way, way, way at the beginning, growing up in Lufkin, Texas. What was that like? What's Lufkin like?
Man, it's backwoods East Texas, real country town, you know what I'm saying? That's what we breed football players at in East Texas. So it's a great little area to play football.
Right. Well, speaking of, were you always into sports? I mean, was it always basketball, football? I know you were raised by your grandmother. Did she support that? Was she protective of you? What was that like?
Oh, man, it was pretty strict. Most people in high school, you know what I'm saying, you didn't have to be in house at 9 o'clock. I had to be in before the streetlights came on. So she was pretty strict. So I had a lot of rules growing up. So that's summed that up.
Nice. But how did football win out? I mean, I know you were a very good basketball player as well. How did How did football? How did football? Tip the scale, so to speak.
Repeat yourself. I couldn't quite hear you.
Sorry. How did football end up being your choice? I know you were offered scholarships in both football and basketball.
Yeah, I was committed to Arizona, football and basketball. But at the last minute, University of Texas had came and, offered me a scholarship. So I decommitted from Arizona to go to Texas to play football so I could be, in the state of Texas right there at home.
Right.
So,
nice.
Texas had such a big tradition. I was excited to go play at the University of Texas, and that kicked off my football career.
Absolutely. Back last year, before the draft, I had read a couple places in interviews with yourself that you were pretty confident that the Packers were interested and that you thought it was pretty good money that they would draft you. And then obviously they did. How did you know? I mean, did something tip you off, or did they really liked you?
Yeah, no, it was a scout called Lorenzo Highsmith.
Right.
He used to, put me on to how the Packers was looking at me and things like that. So I had a little idea about the Packers picking me up in the third round, or if they passed up a second round pick.
Nice. Well, going into your rookie year, you made your you were inactive the first 2 weeks. You made your professional debut on Monday Night Football. That's got to be great against the Cowboys. Were you we're just running out of the tunnel? I mean, you must have been insanely nervous. Do you remember much about that night, or was it all just kind of a blur?
Oh, no, I'm not. I remember every night. You know what I'm saying? Every game I remember. The Cowboy game was just, every game last year really was, was a blur and pretty nerved up and things like that, because I was 100% overwhelmed with, things get thrown at me. Me being at such a young age, answering the lead, so I was pretty overwhelmed.
Right. Well, speaking of your rookie year, I want to apologize on behalf of the NFL for the horrible phantom call that you got flagged for in the Atlanta game, the holding call that took a field goal off the board. You go back and you watch that, and that's just so not a hold. I mean, I don't think you even touched the guy. How do you deal with your coaches after something like that? You know, when you've gotten the flag, you know, pushes the team back, and you know you didn't do anything. How much can you even say at that point?
You really can't say nothing because once they throw it, it's a done deal. You can't really challenge a holding call. And then once it's over, it's already on paper and on record. So it ain't too much you can do about you know what I'm saying, that situation.
Right. You know, obviously, I think what a lot of people, especially our readers, would like to hear you talk a little bit about is the Tennessee game, and then your comments afterwards. I mean, both the third and goal where there was the mix-up with Rodgers coming out of the timeout, and then the fourth down play, you know, where I guess there was maybe some miscommunication between you and Rodgers, and then your words afterwards to the press. How did McCarthy handle that with you? I mean, did he make a big deal about it in front of the team, or was it strictly, you know, McCarthy talking to you in his office and that was it?
Yeah, no, it was really, you know what I'm saying, McCarthy talking to me in his office and just talking about, just really just show you came on the field, don't, you know what I'm saying, open your mouth and do all that talking. But all that went on just because of immaturity and young age and getting frustrated.
Right. Did Rodgers say anything to you afterwards, after he saw your comments?
Oh, no, not at all. But I went to him and, you know what I'm saying, apologized and said I was sorry for it, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Talking bad to him on air.
Honey, very good, very good.
That's cool.
You know, coming from Texas, like you do.
What again?
Seeing as you come from Texas, two of your three biggest plays of the year came in Chicago on that Monday Night Football game. You had a couple nice, deep catches. Have you ever experienced cold like that before, or was that your first real taste for the bitter Arctic North?
Yeah, that was my first. That was my first ever playing in weather like that. That was like the most craziest thing I ever experienced. The Chicago game playing in below 20 degrees.
Right.
That was crazy.
Well, we hope you get used to it.
Oh yeah.
I don't have no choice playing here.
Right, exactly. You know, last week when you talked to Alex over at Packers Lounge, you had indicated that you're going to own the corners of the end zone this year.
I'm going to build me a little, you know what I'm saying, little house back there in the back of the end zone.
Have they drawn up some plays specifically for you to get to free you up in the red zone?
Yeah, not quite yet. We barely got into install two tonight. We just got into install two, so it's getting there. I can tell it's getting there for sure.
Right. And do you see maybe eventually? I mean, there's been talk of you possibly starting, possibly displacing Lee, or you know, running some two tight end sets. Do you think you'll be featured in the passing game a little bit more, and Donald will be in the running game, or? Are you going to try and work your butt off and get up there in the blocking area?
I'm going to try to do pretty much both passing and blocking. And if I start, that would be great, you know what I'm saying? If I don't, hopefully run a lot of, you know what I'm saying, two-set tight ends, and both of us can get in, big time involved in our passing game and get it going in the tight end area.
Definitely. Excellent. Well, you know, I know you've had a long day. We thank you a thousandfold for calling in.
Late. Thanks for coming through, Jermichael. That's awesome.
It's really great, and we will definitely be retweeting your wife's account to try and get her to 1,000 followers or get the money to charity, as we've blogged about. So thanks a million.
Hype this Twitter up.
Definitely. thanks so much for joining us, and have a great 2009.
I appreciate it.
Have a great night.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jermichael Finley.
Okay.
We delivered. It took a while.
We do.
But we got there.
What we say we're going to do. Okay?
We're still working on winning Larrivee.
Come on now.
We only got Larrivee. We didn't get Jermichael's.
I do need to say, okay, some people aren't going to understand this because we're just going to put it in the middle of the archive. But the funny thing is that my aunt Gert, okay, she pwned us. Okay,
she
emailed us, and she goes, Corey, why would you think that Wayne Larrabee would pick up the phone? It's on the Saturday night.
Maybe because he agreed to?
No.
He's Wayne Larrabee.
You know.
We're small potatoes.
All right.
But JerMichael Finley.
JerMichael Finley.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're a man among men.
You are. Thank you. You had a lot of meetings today. You had a big day.
And let me tell you, JerMichael, you didn't see the show prior, and you're probably not watching now. But let me tell you, you're going to receive the Cheesehead Nation Packer transplant bump.
Oh, he will.
He will.
All right, so that's it for our show.
That's our little segment. That's our special JerMichael Finley show.